Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. Tried acting funny until I hit my nose on the ground. Some people call me a bad apple, but I may be bruised. That's a very well chosen song, Timmy. Very well chosen. Good Canadian kid too, singing that.
Yeah, I was. I'm not suggesting that apples are bad. I tried to find songs with apple in them. There's not a lot of them, except for kids' songs.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming out. All appreciate right, thank that. You. Good All effort. Right. Reporting to CEO Tim Cook, Angela Arendts, by the way, I hope that I'm pronouncing her name right, we'll find out soon, is responsible for strategy, real estate, and development and operations of Apple's physical stores, Apple's online store, and contact centers. There's a whole lot in her bio. She's a very intriguing human being, but what I don't like doing actually anymore is reading the bio to the person while they're on the phone. I want to talk to the person. So let's get Angela on the line. Angela, how was your soiree last night?
It was incredible. Thank you very much. Always great to have a wonderful evening with great music and friends.
Nice. I'm glad it went well. When was the last time you took a sick day?
Oh, I don't think I have.
But do you like, that's weird. You know that, right? I mean, nobody has ever, I don't know who's, Tim, have you taken a sick day? You're a teacher. You take one once a week.
No, I don't. I've taken maybe 10 sick days in my 17 years of teaching.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty
hello.
Good. Angela, does this mean your physiological system is better than other human beings, or you're just a power through it kind of a girl?
Obviously, the latter. I mean, it's, you know, we all get sick. I think maybe I've been fortunate enough. I tend to get sick over the holidays.
Yeah.
Finally you get a break. And then why is it that always over a break? I think it's kind of just mind over matter otherwise.
Well, speaking of mind over matter, I read somewhere, I want to find out if it's true. Do you get up at 4:35 every morning without an alarm clock?
You know how it is. The older you get, the less sleep you need. I wish I could sleep longer, but somehow, you know, your mind gets going. But they don't tell you it's also harder to go to sleep, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. My mind stops me from going to sleep. My bladder wakes me up. That'll be the thing. So, okay, New Palestine. What was the weirdest thing about growing up in New Palestine?
The weirdest thing? Huh. You know, I don't think there was weird. I think it's one of those places, and do realize this is in Indiana, not Israel, right? This is like the heartland. This is one of those places that I was flown over their whole life, but very few have actually landed down in. But you know what? I think it's even less the place, right? For me, it's never been New Palestine or Paris or London or California. I was incredibly blessed to be born into a huge family, one of six kids, very loving, loving, incredible parents. And so it really wasn't where we were. It was, you know, who we with and an incredible neighborhood. So I'm a big communal person. I was raised in community. When you're in a small town, that's what it's about. And I think that's when I say, don't forget where you came from. Mm. I mean, I love that family communal feeling. And, you know, I tried to carry that with me everywhere I've gone.
A lot of, I don't know, big names came out of your neck of the woods, right? James Dean, Michael Jackson, Jimmy Hoffa, Larry Bird. Speaking of Larry Bird, David Letterman, of course, yes. His beard is still in L.A. or New York, but Larry Bird, I mean, come on, Larry Bird, I don't know. Like, basketball players are kind of weird, don't you think, Angela?
No, I think you should be really careful there because I happen to be married to one for 41 years. So,
I love love stories, and of course, during February, it's our love month. We just don't do a Valentine's Day show. We do a Valentine's month. I mean, we get into this, right? I'm interviewing love gurus. Each week I'm interviewing couples who've been married 50-plus years. I want to know your love story. How did it happen? And was the proposal decent, or was it like at KFC and he said, do you want to? Like, what happened?
Well, I was a senior in high school, and my husband was a junior then, and he was on the varsity basketball team, and I was a cheerleader, and we ended up away at a, I don't know, some tournament or something, and ended up at this huge long table right across from one another. Of course, we knew each other all these years, but I don't know, our eyes connected, and it was like, wow, you know, this gangly kid had the most beautiful, sensitive eyes. And a day later, he invited me to a New Year's Eve party, and it struck 12, and he slapped the most luscious kiss on me that I've ever had in life. And I have loved him to death ever since. And we actually didn't get married for a number of years. We dated and traveled all over the world for about 17 years, believe it or not. But I was working in New York, and he was working in Indiana. And it was kind of a weird thing that happened. The first movie we ever went and saw was Jane Seymour's Somewhere in Time, filmed on Mackinac Island. An amazing love story. And so I'm in New York, and he's in Indiana, and we have friends of friends, et cetera. And we had kind of decided, yes, let's get married. And, you know, we love each other for all these years. And so anyway, we were trying to decide where, because we had friends all over the place and family in the Midwest. And a friend of mine called up one day and said, called me in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, and said, you have to get married on Mackinac Island. And I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, and because, it, you know, they knew the love story.
Yeah.
And she said, and you have to honeymoon at Jane Seymour's house in Bath. And I'm like, it's like 3 a.m. And I'm thinking that she's, you know, long story short, we got married at the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island. And we had the most magnificent honeymoon in Bath, England. And I asked my parents to join us because it was so surreal, the whole thing. And I said I would wait another 17 years to do it just like that. It was just an incredible, incredible blessing. You can't make it up.
No. Well, especially the part about inviting your parents to join you for your honeymoon. I'm sorry, what?
I know, but you know what? I love my parents. I've spent so many years, you realize I've been in New York all this time, and I love my parents. And, you know, and you're going away. We're going to go to Bath for 2 weeks, and it's incredible. I love my husband to death, but I also wanted to share it with my parents, and they've given us so much and all these years, and so I wanted to celebrate them, too. My father just passed, but my parents were married for 63 years, and they've been incredible inspiration in our lives. So.
Nice. So good. Plus, I'm sure Jane's house is big enough you wouldn't have seen your parents. I had Jane on the show. She's been on a couple of times.
Yes.
And I just absolutely, I mean, it's the thing to say in L.A. and, you know, the Hollywood thing. Oh, I just love her. I just love her. Oh, everyone loves everybody. And then you say that publicly, and then you say different things behind the door. But she is just an absolute gem of a human being. Do you hang out with Jane these days, Angela? Are you guys pals?
No. We've actually never even met. This was a friend of a friend who ended up, I don't know, something in PR, you know, since now 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah.
And so, no.
No.
No, but it was so strange because we walked into this incredible mansion she has that, you know, St. Catherine's Court. And we open the door, you walk in, and literally in her office is that picture from Somewhere in Time. And so it's the whole thing. I mean, my husband and I, we pinch ourselves.
That's so cool. So
life
cool.
Life is a fascinating journey.
Love it. I love it. Well, okay, let's talk about some things you're sort of known for. When I first kind of creeped on you online, I came across stuff that said you're the most powerful this and the most powerful that, and you won this award for being powerful, and you did this, and there was power here and power there, and it was getting a little crazy. And then at the very end it says, and you're also an active Christian, which I always kind of find funny. Is like, well, when do you deactivate that, you know? But okay, so is there, speaking of power, is there a power struggle with being such a powerful, quote-unquote, powerful woman, and being a Jesus girl. Is there a power dynamic in that?
You know, first of all, I'm not comfortable with the whole powerful thing. What's power? Right? Like, I don't think like that. And I think that's just labels that, you know, the press puts on you to, I don't know, separate you. And I don't want to be separated, right? I mean, but no. So one, I don't get the whole power thing, right? I don't. And then in terms of a struggle, you know, it's funny. I guess my faith is not a box I tick. It's just who I am. And so no, it's never really been a struggle. I live by, you know, it's how I was raised. It's how I deeply feel. And the older I get, the more I read and the more I, and probably the only struggle is, you know, I would love to share it more. And that's probably the biggest struggle in a big corporate life, right? You got to be careful. And so I do it more by just shining my light. I do it more through leadership. I want to make them curious of why I'm the way that I am. Why do I have positive energy? Why do I love them? Why do I treat everybody fairly? Why do I care so much about, you know, their benefits and their career paths? And, you know, and so I just try to live it. I just, you know, so no, there's not a struggle or a conflict because it's who I am. It's not something I do. Mm. It's who I am. And maybe that's hard to articulate.
No, you, I mean, I'm sorry, but I got a little shoulders back, all pridey. Pridey? Is that a real word? I got kind of proud when you were talking because that's, I'm sorry, but I'm really serious about this, Angela. More Jesus people need to shut up and live it. And for example, in your TED talk, you dropped some Jesus nuggets in there and no one even knew. And it was so, but it had context. There was purpose behind it. It fit. It just was. And you didn't stink of agenda. And I think that's why people, you know, are hiring you to do what you do. But I think it's about your authenticity. It's about your, you know, genuine. That's a word that has followed you around. And I think those two words also combine into how you do the whole Jesus thing. So, I don't know. Well done. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It was so funny you bring up the TED Talk. I'm sitting there, right? And I had rehearsed and whatever, and they wanted me to tweak a couple of things. And I kept thinking, I want to reference a great leader. I want to reference a great leader. And I believe that, you know, you're given signs, and I try and live so open so I don't miss any of them. And it's like 3 a.m. and I'm just trying to, you know, and all of a sudden I looked at my calendar and it was Monday, Thursday. And I thought, wow, okay, there's my leader.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, just like that. It wasn't researched. It was, you know, and I kind of added that in and said, on this day, 2000 years ago, it was one of the greatest leaders. Oh, and it was just such a blessing when things just, you know, when the Spirit just puts things in you. I try and tell my kids, just stay open. Just believe and stay open and just let yourself be used, because you can't make my life up. Where I came from and what I've been blessed to do and experience and go. I mean, you know, my dad's always called me a dreamer. I can't dream this big. I've been incredibly blessed, and it's not my doing.
Well, you have made, I really didn't know how much of an impact you had made until I came across a blog that someone wrote about you. And in this blog, this girl said something like this. Whenever she wrote this, she was like in youth ministry or something, and she called you one of the most polished, tenacious, creative, and well-respected VPs on the planet. I love that she's a wife, a mother, a thought leader, and an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this woman has seriously said about you things that would suggest to me that you have made a major impact on her life. A major impact on her life. And you'd never know this, right? So what I thought we might do is I want to call her. We're ringing her phone right now. Her name I think is her last name's Lindsay. I wrote her name down. Where is it? Oh, Brooklyn. So let's surprise call her. She loves you. I want to freak her out. She's at one of her kids' games. So she's probably being a good mom. Maybe she doesn't even have voicemail. Here we go. Brooklyn. Hi, Brooklyn.
Sister.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Brooklyn, your hero is on the other line here. Angela, this is Brooklyn. Brooklyn, this is Hero. So, this is Hero.
We need a hero.
Hey, how are you?
What a cool thing, like, to chat.
So, Brooklyn, I came across this blog where you were reaching out, or you were writing about Angela, and I just thought, man, this woman has had such a huge impact on your life. And I asked you, we spoke last night briefly, I said, how did you, like, what... Put more words on this. Help Angela understand, like, the kind of impact you've had on her, please. Because I don't think Angela really... I think she understands she has an impact, but you're a real live human being who's been impacted greatly by Angela. So this is your chance to tell Angela what is going on. Go.
Hey, I'm not sure if you can still hear me.
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, I actually have, honestly, as you know, I've never met you, but read about you in Fast Company magazine, and I'm a youth pastor, a writer, speaker, and just the description of your life and the way that you have led your company with a tenacious yet compassionate and humble approach really connected with me. I think that was like in 2014 or 15, and so I've just been following you as a mentor, even though we don't really get to, you know, sit face-to-face and just kind of taking notes, and I've been really impacted by it.
Thank you so much. You have no idea. It's my dream. It's my dream that I can have just a tiny impact on as many people as possible, right? We're just all here for such a short period of time, so thank you, thank you, thank you. And you inspire me
You never know what your yes will mean for people in the future. And I just try to think of that, you know, like you may not see the impact now, but the future will. And and just the way you've crossed over from fashion to technology and not let that limit you, or the fact that you're female. And I really don't know a lot about your faith, but I trust that you have one just because of the choices you made. So,
wow.
I don't know. Keep doing it.
Do you hear that? Now, that's the thing right there, man. That was the nugget. That was so good. Angela, I don't know if you're excited, but I am. I'm just like silly over here. This is great. Hey, let me just do this. Now, I asked you, Brooklyn, for a few questions that, you know, you might ask Angela. And let's just pick one, because you were so kind and gave me four of these questions, but I want to pick one for you, okay? So here's one of four questions that she has for you, Angela, and then we'll let you go because you've got a life, and the last thing you want to do is spend it with Canadians. So here's the thing. When do you know it's time to follow a crazy idea, exercise faith, or invest in someone unlikely? Do you have a gut compass? Love it. Now I feel like Oprah. Do you have a gut compass?
You know, you can call it gut, but what I always do is the minute that I've got to make a big decision, I go back to the Word, and I start reading and reading. And it's funny, sometimes I'll just open it up, and because I feel like I'm seeking guidance. I don't want to just make a decision on my own. I don't want to just use my own mind to do that. I want to know for sure. So I go to the Word, and then I always meditate on it, right? Just, you know, lead me, guide me, direct me. I want to do your will. I want to make sure I'm going on the right path. I mean, so please, please, just lead me, guide me. And you know what? Sometimes you don't hear anything a day, a week, a month. And I think that the biggest mistake some people make is they're like, okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to do it then. And I think patience in prayer is the most difficult thing in the world. Hmm. But don't try to control your own destiny. I mean, there will be signs, such clear signs. And it may be a feeling at some point, but it's a feeling that you'll get, and you'll feel like 50 pounds is off your shoulders. And then something will happen, and you'll say, oh, that was odd. That was funny. But it's not funny. You know, there are no coincidences in life. So I just don't always, don't try to control your own destiny. God gave you incredible instincts and an incredible book to guide us. And the Spirit's always there with you. Just let the Spirit keep you so totally filled, and just always pray for guidance and direction. And then you will get clarity when you're supposed to get clarity, right?
See, my brain goes right to the yeah buts, because I'm a jerk. I have the spiritual gift of pessimism. I go right to, yeah, but what if it takes like 25 years? How long are you supposed to wait? Right?
Easy, Job.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, Job.
But maybe that was never supposed to be.
Yeah.
Maybe if you did that, you would miss out on some incredible opportunity that you didn't know about. Every time in my life, I still have a half-finished home in upstate New York.
Yes.
I moved to London. No, but because I felt this calling to go. I had, and again, it just totally upends your whole life. I mean, I gave it up a long time ago. And my thing is, I don't want to control my own life. I don't want to. They talk about living in the flesh and living in the spirit, and I would rather live in the spirit. It's like being on the greatest plane in the world. It's the greatest in the whole world. And again, you can't comprehend what's possible for you.
Well, I think we should finish it there. Brooklyn, Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. I hope you enjoyed your present.
Oh, I am just so grateful for your words, and they're so good. I wrote them down, so thank you.
If you missed any of today's interview, we'll load it on our website by the end of the week, and it'll be up there in our podcast, so you can go listen to yourself there again. No, I mean listen to Angela. Okay, Brooklyn, listen, how was the game? We got to say goodbye, but how was the game? Because didn't your young one have a game or some sports thing or something today?
She did. She's 11 years old, and she was playing with a friend who's a bit older, so she had to play beach volleyball in a 16-year-old bracket. So they completely got annihilated and had so much fun. So it was an awesome day, and she laughed and had a blast, and I'm so proud of her. I love being a mom.
Good for you.
It was a good day.
Good for you. Okay, Brooklyn, well, listen, you and I, let's keep in touch. Shoot me a little email. We'll send you the link to the interview once it's up online so you don't have to go searching for it. And and thank you. Listen, you said some pretty cool stuff to Angela. And I don't know Angela, but I know her enough to know that she's pretty legit when it came to your words impacting her, not just her words impacting you. So basically, it's a mutual admiration kumbaya moment we just had here on the Drew Marshall Show.
Yay.
Okay. All right. Bye, Brooklyn. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What a sweet girl she is. Angela, thanks for doing that with me. That was a lot of fun. I really appreciate your willingness to just kind of go with that. So thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You have just, again, made someone's week, month, year just by being you. So I want to talk to you about three things that you've spoken about: trust, intuition, and belief. So, Angela, who do you trust the most?
God, my faith. I rely on, nothing more. Whatever signs, whatever, I'm a human. I have tremendous fears and insecurities like everybody else. And when I pray, when I meditate, when I read, if I didn't read every morning, I couldn't handle the 90,000 things you deal with in a day. And it grounds me, and I trust the word, and I trust the signs, and I trust the Spirit filling me before I talk to you today, just praying that I say the right things and, touch enough people, et cetera. So that's bar none. Bar none.
Yeah. All right. Well, what was the last great thing that your intuition led you towards? I mean, aside from doing my show.
From talking to you today, yeah.
Same page. Yep.
It was fascinating. I mean, I've said for years that I've always fought my faith. Always. Because you think we're humans, we use our mind, we do pros and cons and overthink everything. And finally, when I just stop and just get on my knees and just, pray for guidance, and et cetera, then it's fascinating how all of a sudden there'll be this funny sign, and you'll just, you know, and then you'll see all these other things just fall into place. So I will tell you from moving to Burberry and again, fighting it for a year and a half and then having signs fall into place, or exiting Burberry and, you know, not wanting to, but having sign after sign after sign, you know, including when the board came back to me and the chairman came back to me with this huge amount of stock, you know, begging me to stay. And I felt a calling. I felt it was just time and refused to even look at the amount, et cetera. But I had a final call with the chairman. So I just took my calculator, took the amount, divided it by that day's share price, and up on my phone popped up, you know, 6666666666. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that was the sign of don't even go there. Don't even, you know. So I have big signs, little signs. It's the most, you know, someday there's probably a book in it, but, you know, I've been so blessed. And again, I tell my kids, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful life if you can live open and just feel and watch and try not to control everything in your life. Hmm. You can't possibly fathom how you can be used and the things you'll see and do. And but you got to live open, right? And you got to stay in the word, and you got to live open and feel. And it's hard to explain it to people.
Have you ever, because we hear about this a lot, and I remember when I first started doing the show, I'd interview celebrities, and I would say this question. It was such a lame question, but I would say, hey, so is it really hard to be a Christian in Hollywood? And it just, I think back and cringe now and go, dude, like, it's such a weenie question. But then I started to think about the corporate world, and as far as I'm concerned, that's worser. That's a real word, by the way. You know, there's so many parameters about what you can and can't say and shouldn't say, and especially as we get more and more politically correct. So, I don't know. I mean, let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced, I don't even want to call it persecution, because when I think of persecution, I don't think North Americans really have a clue what real persecution is. But have you ever experienced, you know, some time in your job where people said, look, the Jesus stuff, knock it off?
You know, maybe I have, but maybe I have, but I've been in denial. So nothing, I've been incredibly blessed where nothing really, really dramatic up until this stage, right? And actually almost just the opposite. You know, I find that instead, you know, it's almost like, you know, like it's almost like bugs do a light. You know, it's almost like, again, people are curious and so whether it's other executives, whether it's other team members, whether it's, you know, even outside executives. I mean, it's quite fascinating. And I'm blown away at the number of CEOs I've met the number of incredible people around the world that I've met, and you just sense it in one another. Right, and then you open it up and have the conversation. It is fascinating, and so I think to your point, so few. I think that it's not in fashion to talk about it because of all the dynamics you explained. But you know, again, I think that salt and light, right? I think we're just, you know. And my dad, I mean, my whole life, I quote my dad constantly. But Adam used to say, "Show me, don't tell me."
Well, that's exactly where I was going in this. You haven't had anyone that you are aware of say to you, dude, stop with the Jesus stuff already. Well, first of all, they're not going to say dude to you, but they certainly haven't, you know, had you, they haven't said to you, knock it off. And the reason they haven't said that to you is because you're a woman of integrity. You're a woman who is a hard worker. You are a woman who takes others' needs into great account. I think the people, honestly, I don't know. This is going to be a nice thing to say. So for all the snowflakes out there who are going to get offended, I think the reason, if you're one of those people and your boss is saying to you, dude, shut up with the Jesus stuff already, I think that has more to do with the fact that you're just irritating. You're being, you know, do you know what I mean, Tim?
I know exactly
I'm struggling
saying.
Through
you know,
this.
What is it? I can't remember which father.
St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah, you know,
go into all the worlds, preach good news, and if you have to, use words.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Good talk. Hey,
you know what? I think it's not that hard. People will say, "Well, how did you make that decision? How did you?" And I'll look at them and I'm like, "Do unto others." I mean, right? You always put yourself in the other person's position. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, how hard? They're so basic. They're so universal, right? It doesn't matter what company, what level. It's just they're just absolutely most magnificent, simple thing. But you know, and I don't. It's not a matter of, like you said, when you're in a company, there's tremendous respect and tremendous. But if you just live it every day, I think you're able to have 10 times the impact.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, have a nice life. All the best. Take care. I'm sure there will be nothing happening in the next few weeks, in the next couple of months that, I mean, come on. Seriously. What? The biggest news? I mean, it's all over the place. Can you actually talk about it?
Sure. I mean, I believe that there's something next, and you know, everything I've learned, I learned in New York, the international connections I made in London, everything that I've learned at Apple and in California, and I think God has just continued to teach me and groom me and lead me and guide me, and I'm just excited for what he's got planned next.
Yeah,
I have no idea what it is yet, but
maybe you can help Kenny Hertz sell those suitcases that he's got rolling around.
That's exactly why I have been groomed to do all of this.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man.
Fabulous.
So good.
Fabulous.
All right, well, listen.
Yeah, so no, that's it. Nothing more. I mean, there's no big story, no big, you know. Life is made of people and companies and houses and things and, right? And then there's people like you. People like you that make a tremendous impact. No, but by what they do. And you say that I do in some small way. I think we're all called to help in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Ways that we don't even know or understand.
Well, to me, it was very obvious that you were raised by a spiritual mother and a philosopher father. Great job those two did. Yep.
Mm.
I don't know about the siblings. Maybe they're all, you know, rat bags that are in prison right now or something. I don't know, but
they're all incredible.
Okay.
They're incredible. There's 21 kids between them, and the kids are all incredible. It's really a blessed life.
Little house on the Indiana prairie. Thank you, Angela. I'm serious. When I want to finish with this, the word incarnational gets thrown around a lot in the Jesus scene. Basically, I want to just kind of go back to this and summarize what I think I got the most out of this, which is, if you're a Jesus person and you want to let everyone know about Jesus, then shut up and live it. And you're the example of that. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Drew, very much.
Pleasure to speak with you. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Great. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.